Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. And welcome to Nature Mystic with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy encore presentations of topics covered by Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Selena Fox from her previous podcasts, Circlecraft Studies, Nature Folk, and more. In tonight's encore from July 2014, Selena led a celebration of the life and legacy of Margot Adler, who passed away in July of 2014. And tonight is a celebration of the 82nd anniversary of her birthday, which is coming up this April 16th.
And tonight on Circlecraft Radio, we have a special show in memory and honoring of Margot Adler, who just passed away. And we have Reverend Selena Fox here from Circle Sanctuary, who's going to be leading our discussion with a number of special guests, who she'll be bringing into the conversation. Good evening, Selena.
Good evening. We remember Margot Adler. We celebrate her, her life, her works, her bright spirit, her legacy. And in this special memorial show, we have several long-time friends and associates of Margot that will each be briefly sharing perspectives, experiences of Margot. Margot spent much of her adult life communicating with others through radio and in the spirit of connections and information and community that's possible through radio, we dedicate this special Internet Radio Memorial Show to her. I'll begin by sharing some of my own experiences. I first met Margot in 1978 at a conference in Georgia. She was in the final stages of working on her book, Drawing Down the Moon. We instantly connected and became close friends through shared interests, both of us feminists, environmentalists, involved in the civil rights movement, involved in a variety of social justice movements, including free speech. We both did writing. We both were doing radio. I was with Back Porch Radio in Madison, Wisconsin, a listener-sponsored radio, and she was with WBAI at that time. And we both were priestesses, connected with the craft and with paganism. And both of us were very interested in reaching out and connecting with others and learning about pagan diversity and converging it. So over the years, Margot and I have had many adventures together. She was part of the Pagan Spirit Gathering, which our center, Circle Sanctuary, began sponsoring in 1980. So over the years, from time to time, she was one of our featured speakers. We also did interfaith work together, including in 1988, going to the World Council of Churches' very first all-women's international interfaith dialogue conference. And we were the two women from Goddess Traditions and Nature Religion that were invited and took part in that adventure. And one of the fun parts of our relationship is that as second wave feminists, we really were looking to not only redecorate the halls of religion, but to change how marriage and the balance of gender played itself out. And for that reason, neither one of us, while we were in relationships with significant others, live-in male companions, we had not gotten married. And we made an agreement back in the 80s that if either one of us decided to get legally married, we'd conduct each other's wedding ceremony. So in 1986, she had the opportunity to officiate at My Hand Fasting with Dennis Carpenter, and you'll hear from him later in the show. And in 1988, I had the opportunity to do Margo and John's wedding on Martha's Vineyard. And over the years, we continued to connect not only face-to-face, sometimes speaking together, but on the phone, through email, and in shared spiritual work. I'm so thankful in recent years both of us not only spoke at Pantheacon out in California, but we got to room together. I'm thankful to have been able to talk with Margo during the last part of her life's journey. I am so thankful for her and her life, and I will continue to remember her and give thanks to her for enriching not only my life, but the lives of many individuals, groups, and the world as a whole. I'd like to invite into the conversation someone who also has known Margo for a really long time, a Circle Sanctuary minister from Massachusetts, Jerry Hildebrand. She is the corporate secretary of the Covenant of Unitarian Universalist Pagans, and she's the president and creative principal at Kish Graphics. Welcome, Jerry.
Hey, Selena.
So as you reflect back of your years of friendship and work with Margo, what are some memories, some experiences that come to mind?
Wow. Well, so I met Margo when right around the time, shortly after joining COPS, the Covenant of Unitarian Universalist Pagans, back in the late 80s. And her book had just been published a couple of years earlier by Beacon Press, which was a Unitarian Universalist publishing company. And she was attending an event out at Roe Camp. And we had quite a bit of time to sit and talk one afternoon, and just there was a kinship there. And then as things developed with our paths in Unitarian Universalism, we both found ourselves wanting a more democratic and inclusive organization for the Covenant of UU Pagans, and rallied with a team of folks and had that happen. And in 1996, ended up serving on the board together for a number of years. And I just loved working with her. She just included everyone's voices and made sure everyone was included, and even loved to, like, keep the pot stirred for a while if it needed to be, you know, if you needed to have some heated discussion going for a while, it was okay with her. And that's what I really loved, was that the whole of human expression was okay with her. Our paths kept crossing all over the place, and she came to Salem during the 300th anniversary of the Salem witch trials and spoke up here, and subsequently started doing some lectures up here with me in conjunction with the No Place for Hate Committee on religious freedom issues for the Earth-Centered and the Pagan and Wiccan communities. The last meeting with her was when I was at Pantheacon this year, and I had the chance to meet with Margot and Starhawk and you and Shirley Rank, who wrote Cakes to the Queen of Heaven. And we all were in conversation and dialogue regarding a book that Shirley and I are writing regarding New You Pagan Voices and the impact of that on the Unitarian Universalist Association. And Margot was interested in writing our afterword. She wanted to write as few words as possible because in her world, this was a book that was long overdue. And I have been very nervous about the book. I don't consider myself a writer. And she turned to me at one point and she said, "It's just time for your voice to step up, darling." And it was like, and I just, there was like this lump in my throat. And then you all, like Starhawk and everybody was like, "Yeah, it's time." And Shirley just looked at me and she said, "Yeah, we got to do this one together." And it was like, it was just very clear that it was time for something like this to come into being, because Margot's voice was, it was integral into changing the shape of paganism in the Unitarian Universalist Association. She was a member at All Souls Church in New York City and just was widely respected in the UU world, and she spoke at General Assemblies, and I just, it was just so much fun to be with her at those events and, you know, and create a little mischief, too, sometimes while we were at it.
Well, thank you so much for sharing.
You're
and,
welcome.
And we now connect with another long-time friend and associate of Margot's, Eclipse Nielsen, who's from Rhode Island. She's the director of Woman Soul Camp at Rogue Conference Center. She is a Magaian priestess and artist and author and elephant activist, and she's been teaching workshops in various places with Margot for over 27 years. Welcome, Eclipse.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I've been doing a lot of thinking since I, you know, got your email and thought about and been reading a lot about all the wonderful things that have been said about Margot. And I, when I sat with myself, I said, well, what do you want to share, Eclipse, with, about Margot? And the piece, there were two things that really stuck out with me. She was obviously a grand woman in the world. But the piece that really, really reached me as we priestess was, one, her ability to raise people's passion for song and music and passion for the goddess. And what really stood out, Margot had a passion for life in every single aspect. And my fondest memories are the memories of us behind the scenes. When Margot's gusto, for example, for food, could not be matched. And probably but I learned that it was really her gusto for life. And my son, Margot was staying at my house. We were going to do a workshop, and my son was 12 years old, and he had made a chocolate cake, not really knowing that this was Margot's favorite thing. Well, in the middle of the night, Margot got up and ate all the icing off the cake. And it was her philosophy of life. Eat the cake, but make sure you get all the icing. And I slowly, over the years, learned to watch how Margot approached the world in the public and in private. And she was a very, as outgoing as she was also a very, very private person and trusted her close friends. And those she trusts, you got to see such an incredibly gentle human being who could also stand in to the world with incredible voice. Margo and I are, I am the mystical type priestess that loves to travel the other realms and watch energy and do all those type of things. And Margo's feet are very rooted on the ground. And we bantered in an intellectual way a lot about what was there and what wasn't there. And I had a saying with Margo that it was called the yeah, 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 when I would be saying something that she wasn't buying. And she'd go, yeah, 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 yeah. But she'd listen. And every once in a while she'd get this wide-eyed look and go, wow, you know, it's, yeah, you know, maybe this is true. And I had made a commitment with her, because I do a lot of work with spiritual hospice, that I would hold the line for her as she did her ancestor journey, which is a priestess technique that you use. It's a three-day process. And I checked in with her, which means I don't interrupt her process. I just sort of get a glimpse. And I saw her yesterday with that wide-eyed look that she would get when things were just awesome. That could be for seeing the most perfect bird, singing the most beautiful song, or eating the best lobster she ever had. And she was saying, this is fucking real. It's really real. And she was so happy that the other realm that she so wanted to believe with every part of herself was real. And then I heard her singing a chant, and I feel that I want to share this because this is a message from Margo. It was the Children of the Earth tribe rise up. Children of the Earth rise up. Well, you know, the one says some say Manji, some say Aho Makasing, some say Om, some say Shalom, that chant. And it was like Margo's life. She had so many people with so many different walks of path and so many different belief systems, and they all came together loving her. And I just am so grateful that I got to see her passion for life, and so grateful that she was able to let go when she needed to let go. And I think that's what I have to say right now.
Well, well said. Thank you so much, Eclipse. And we now invite into the conversation Bright Flame from New York City. She's a priestess, a teacher, and a writer in the reclaiming tradition, and has been doing this work for the past 20 years. And she's known Margo for many years as well, and met her through Eclipse. And her relationship with Margo deepened when she moved to New York City. Welcome, Bright Flame.
Thank you, for Selena, for gathering us together here. Difficult time, of course, since Margo just left us yesterday. So I was trying to pull my thoughts together and think about, well, you know, what would I want to share about Margo? And hearing what you offered and Jerry and what Eclipse said brought me back to the first time I met Margo. It was pure Margo. I was going up to the solstice thing that she and Eclipse did every year, and Eclipse hooked me up with Margo to give her a ride. So she was taking the regional rail to a stop, and I was going to pick her up off the highway there. I had another friend in the car as well, and the two of us had never met Margo before. So we're looking at each other. People are coming down the stairway off the train track. Is that woman Margo? Is that woman Margo? Yeah, we didn't even know what she looked like. And we thought, well, you know, we'll just watch. And I had told her what kind of car we had. But the instant we saw Margo at the top of the stairs, bounding down the stairs towards us with a wide open stance, we said, that must be Margo. At that point, her long dark hair flowing. And she was just, oh, like hugging us from, you know, like 100 feet away, trying to hug us because... she came right up and said, "Yeah, bright flame, Molly. Yes, it's me." And you had an instant connection with her warmth. She drew people in like that right away. I think, you know, she connected with people with exuberance and with interest. She did that professionally as a journalist to weave her many stories that she told us through her reporting over the years and her radio shows. But she did that personally as well. She did that in the pagan communities. I'm sure those of you joining me on air today and those of you listening can see that. Everyone became an instant old friend of Margot's as soon as she connected with you. You know, you were there. You had her attention, and she started to tell you her intimate stories, and then you were hooked, and you were her friend. But really, it was these last few years after I moved to New York that we became much more close, geographical proximity and all that. And we began our relationship, they're deepening more over food. But my relationship with Margot changed from sharing tapas and tempranillo to doing spell working and ritual and relaxation exercises for her healing and to give her ease. I was part of a group of friends tending her here in New York City. Selena and Eclipse added to that energy as they could from afar. The group of friends was typical Margot, our web weaver. Not only were we pagans from various traditions, but also editors, writers, teachers, lawyers, a philanthropist, a translator, and other roles that I don't even know of. People she knew from pagan communities, from NPR, from her coffee clutch, and from her social justice work from years back. It's such a good example of the lives and communities Margot touched. But I am grateful for what I was able to gift her with in these last months. We shared a love of the ocean, of Yemaya. I became Margot's priestess of relaxation. She loved what I called mermaid caresses. It's something I made up just for her. It's what came to me. I started doing chakra clearings and Reiki and trying to get, you know, find what would just give her ease and relaxation and comfort to open to healing. And this is what came to me. Yemaya came, and these were mermaid caresses. I would touch her with my wet fingers and stroke her head, her hair, and stroke down her body, giving her the feeling of being stroked by mermaids or by kelp leaves while she floated gently on the ocean. So I would give her mermaid caresses as I led her through the visualizations that she loved of feeling herself held in Yemaya's arms. So many of you may know that Margot had quite a connection with the Hellenic gods and goddesses.
Yeah.
But I feel that that connect her connection with Apollo, with Asclepius, with others, I think she connected with them more through her intellect and her mind. It was Yemaya who touched her heart, and that's who she really opened to in these last weeks as I brought this to her. So I grieve that she was not able to get back to Martha's Vineyard that she loved for her annual voyage to the sea.
Yeah.
She would be there now if she hadn't left us yesterday. But I picture her now on a splendid and wondrous and beautiful and deeply satisfying journey. And I'm so grateful that Eclipse saw what she saw yesterday and was willing to share that widely with us. And just one final thing I'd say, that chant that Eclipse heard Margot chanting, people of the Earth Tribe, rise up, people, or children of the Earth Tribe, rise up. I've been involved in environmental activism, especially around the People's Climate March that's coming up in September in New York City. And I was sharing last week with Margot like an update about that. And Inestra King, one of the foremothers of ecofeminism, who was a close friend of Margot's, was with us as well. And Margot just lit up listening to this talk of politics and activism. And I want to bring that chant into those actions. I'll be participating as part of the Pagan Cluster. And I would put out to all of you to bring that chant more out into the world through your own circles, through your rituals, through your activism, because it was a message from Margot, and let's honor her as we bring that chant more and more to the world.
Well, thank you so much. Well put. And now we invite into the conversation another friend and associate of Margot's, Andras Corbin Arthon from Massachusetts. And he's the founder of the Earth Spirit Community. He's the president of the European Congress of Ethnic Religions and a member of the Board of Trustees of the Parliament of the World's Religions. And he also has known Margot for many, many years, going back into the 1970s. Welcome, Andras.
Hello, Selena. Thank you very much for having me. Hello, everybody.
And as you think about Margot and the many times and experiences you've shared, what comes to mind, Margot, her spirit, her actions?
Well, you know, I think it's sort of very natural at a time like this to think of like the first time that you met someone. And so, of course, I did. And reflecting upon it, I thought how appropriate a story that was to who Margot was in essence, and some of the things that I most appreciated about her. I first heard about Margot long before we actually met, because we had a number of mutual friends who lived in New York, and some of these friends had the idea that we had to meet, that whenever we met, something was going to happen. I don't know what they expected. I guess some kind of very intense, esoteric, convoluted conversation or something like that. And they certainly on my end had told me, you know, you guys have to meet and we want to be there for it because we want to watch what happens. And it was, you know, kind of a setup. But so in 1977 or 78, we both happened to be at a pagan event in New York State, and some of our friends were there, so they brought us together, and we introduced each other, and they sort of hung around to see what was going to happen, and, you know, we did the little pleasantries of meeting each other, and then she asked me where I was, and where I lived, and I said I was living in Boston, and she asked me if I followed the Boston Red Sox. And I said, as a matter of fact, I did. And so she had the Boston Red Sox at the time had this kind of crazy pitcher, left-handed pitcher named Bill Lee, who was called the Spaceman and was sort of notorious for being a little wacky. And so she had just done an interview with him for NPR. And so she started talking to me about him. And we got into this very long conversation about baseball and the Red Sox. And it was very humorous to watch our friends who were expecting, I don't know, some kind of fireworks of some other sort. And they were kind of like, what are you talking about, baseball? And so they, little by little, they all left, and we were sort of like arm in arm walking around talking about baseball. And I think in many ways that is sort of typical of who Margot was, because she was someone who had, first of all, just a craving for information, a curiosity about the world, every facet of the world, every possible thing. And I think perhaps that's why she went into journalism, just to find out more about everything. And that she was also so unpretentious, so down to earth, you know, and could really talk about it on any subject, and was just like a real and normal person, not someone who was, you know, putting on airs. And then certainly after her, that was before Drawing Down the Moon came out. But even after that, as she became a very well-known author, I think she was just a very accessible, very down-to-earth person. And I think that was one of her most, for me, one of her most compelling qualities. And she was so smart. She was so, you know, there are people who are smart and then people who are smart, sharp, and quick. And she had that kind of very quick, perceptive intellect that could catch on little nuances and things and follow them up. You know, she could see the little tiny bit of thread that was sort of sticking out of the ball of thread that nobody could see, and she'd pull at that, and suddenly something would come out of that. And she was also so much into... She was such a sensuous person. I think I gravitate toward people who are sensuous, who love food, who love music, who love dance, who love song, who love stories. She was certainly that. She was so alive. I think a lot of the time within the pagan movement, people think of her as the author of this one book that was such a powerful, seminal volume when it first came out and defined the pagan movement for many years. But that's all they know. Mm-hmm. And the person who was Margot, I think, was even better than the book.
I agreed. Well, thank you so much, Andras. And now we invite into the Circle of Remembering Margot Adler, Ruth Barrett. And Ruth is in California. She is a Dianic High Priestess and a pioneering pagan recording artist. She is co-founder of the Temple of Diana, which is a national Dianic temple and religious organization. And over the years, she co-presented with Margot. She sung with her and contributed to her Drawing Down the Moon and other works. So welcome, Ruth.
Thank you, Selena, and I'm very honored to be sharing some thoughts about Margot with the other wonderful folk who are here today with me on the as speakers. And it's really always hard to talk about someone that has been so influential in the immediacy of her passing. And there have been other pagan elders that have departed in the last year and a half, and it's, it's difficult. It's difficult. So I love what everyone shared so far. Wonderful, and I echo so many of the wonderful tributes that have already been spoken. I think I met Margot in 1981 or 82 at a conference called Goddess Rising in Sacramento, and it was this amazing event with, always like to say, the entire cast of characters in the movement at that time, or at least the ones that were on the West Coast, I should say. And it, a lot of us were, in a sense, seeing each other for the first time, which was in that's where I met you, Selena.
Yes, that's right.
At that event. And Margot was there, and so many others but that was my first experience meeting with her and being in her energy field. We had a very interesting bonding on many levels. We're both Jew witches, so we had this very interesting connection because she was raised with, you know, the non-religious Jew, as a cultural Jew, but not as a religious Jew. And so we would have conversations about that, and and she was raised with more of the left socialism views, which are part of many folks who are Jewish. So we had conversations about that. And the other piece of it, you know, it's like how do we get to paganism, you know, that kind of thing. And then we also bonded. A lot of you talked about food. So she and I bonded a lot about the fact that we were involved with Weight Watchers over the years, that when, you know, and how we were doing on the program and, you know, kind of balancing this, the wonderful food thing with wanting also to be healthy and not letting it kind of go extreme for either of us. So we would check in when we would, you know, be in proximity of one another at all over the country, no matter where it was, we'd kind of check in on how we were doing with Weight Watchers. And other, so many other places where we would be together, sometimes did presentations together. I mean, the main thing I really want to say, which is really already been said many times, is that she was extraordinary in her passion for living and in her ability to emit that energetic to other people. She brought aliveness out of other people because she really, truly embodied being alive in every cell of her being. And it came through with everything that she did, absolutely everything. And she was the same person in that same way privately and no matter who she was with publicly. There was not a public persona and a private persona, although, as Eclipse shared, you know, she was private in certain ways. But the energetic of life-loving, Mary Daly describes as biophilia, love of life.
Yeah.
That really, when I think of Margo, I think of that. And her joy in sharing music, and we certainly had that in common, and we were able to. Holly Tannen and I did a concert at Pantheacon last December, and we invited Margo to sing with us as part of a tribute to Sparky T. Rabbit, who passed also this year. And she was always ready to step up, and it's that kind of like, you know, in the Hokey Pokey, you know, put your whole self in.
Yeah.
You put your whole self out, you put your whole self in. That's what she did. And I reveled in that ability that she had to do that. I miss her terribly. I want to say to all of her friends and her also her son and her extended family, my condolences, and we will not let her work end. We will continue to extol her and share her visions and her joys in whatever we do, and that's my way of honoring her, and is to really endeavor to be more and more like her in that ability to be alive. And I think that's really what I want to say. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Ruth. Well, we have another longtime friend and associate of Margo, my husband, Dennis Carpenter. So, Dr. D, welcome. He's a Circle Sanctuary minister, and he's a professor of psychology at the University of Wisconsin in Richland.
Good evening, everyone. It's been so inspiring and amazing to hear all of your stories about Margot and your impressions of her wonderful life. As I think about it, you know, what a gift she had intellectually. She was probably one of the most psychologically minded people I've ever met. That insight into herself and others, her people skills, her zest for life, all of those things. And one of the memories I'll always have of Margot would be her role in our hand fasting, Selena and I, back in 1986. And we did a double ceremony. The first one was the legal wedding at Circle Sanctuary at the new moon in June. And the second part was the pagan public kind of ritual at the pagan spirit gathering 2 weeks later at the full moon and the summer solstice. And it was a very magical time. I saw her remarkable people skills and her ability to navigate and deal with our conservative parents in a very small, intimate family wedding to the wild, raucous, ecstatic ritual with the pagan community, and that that ability to, you know, do what needed to be done and do it with such remarkable skill and quality. And there was a very serious side of her, but there was also this very playful and childlike side. And the memory I have of that was at our family reception at my parents' rural Wisconsin home, and all the old farm families from the area showing up and relatives, and we're standing outside the house, and there's a big hill in the yard there, and at one point in time, she got down on the ground and rolled down the hill. And everybody who was standing there was just like, oh my gosh, we don't believe that she just rolled down the hill, but she just wanted to experience rolling in that grass. And I think that's the metaphor I'll hold for that zest of life that she had and that interest in people and just all the things that made Margot so wonderful, and I'll miss her so much.
Yeah, well, we've had a wonderful range of experiences and sharing and going full circle. I really celebrate the fact that Margot connected with the larger world in so many ways. She was a priestess and a leader within contemporary paganism, and not only was with Covenant of Unitarian Universalist Pagans and Gardnerian Wicca, long-time member of Covenant of the Goddess and associated with Earth Spirit Community and Circle Sanctuary and many other groups, she very much was part of paganism as a whole and had that vision of pagan people and the pagan movement as not only emerging, but the potentials of connecting. She was very involved in the early days of the pagan festival movement and was at some of the first rites of spring and pagan spirit gathering and other gatherings. And in addition to her work as a priestess and going to many festivals and other gatherings, she did group work, but she also was a solitary and had her own personal practice, which she did keep pretty private. She was connected with Hellenic paganism, as I mentioned before, but she also did very much love the water goddess, Yemaya, and some of my personal fond memories of Margot were being in water together and at pagan festivals and swimming and enjoying the water and being one with nature. She had a brilliant mind, and she not only brought that to her news reporting as a radio journalist, but she brought her ability to pull facts together and to develop ideas and to synthesize material from many different places. She was wonderful in academia, and her text, Drawing Down the Moon, in its various editions, continues to be used in the emerging field of pagan studies in academia. And with her journalism, I remember times talking with her when she had challenging things to do, such as covering the streets of New York and the community after 9/11 in 2001, but also some really fun things to do, to be one of the first to interview Rowling as Harry Potter was starting to catch on in America, and scoring an interview with her, and how fabulous that was. Knowing of her doing media work, television and press, as well as other radio, talking about paganism and being a face of contemporary paganism to the larger society and building bridges of understanding. And in 2007, after the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs finally added the Wiccan pentacle, the five-pointed star in a circle, to its list of emblems of belief that could be included on the grave markers it issues for deceased veterans, Margot was among those who helped with a ceremony that Barry Lynn, head of Americans United for Separation of Church and State, which represented Circle Sanctuary in our federal lawsuit that got settled and got the symbol on the list. He and I did this dedication of the very first headstone in Arlington National Cemetery with a cross on one side and a pinnacle on the other. And Margot was there singing with her wonderful voice and uplifting all of us and connecting with us, not only in honoring the dead that the marker was there for, a husband and wife couple that was buried at Arlington, but to celebrate the fact that this pagan rites victory had happened. And certainly she had a variety of writings and books, Drawing Down the Moon, which first appeared in 1979, Heretic's Heart in 1997, where she talked about her social change activism. And in 2000, with her husband John, Our Way to the Stars. And more recently, Vampires Are Us, a political analysis working with the mythic dimensions of vampires. So as you can tell just from her range of ways of being in the world and things that she wrote, she was versatile, she was brilliant, and may she continue to live within each of us in our memories. So in the last few minutes of our time together, I want to just open it up to the group to share a word or two. If you were to describe Margot in just one or two words to someone in her life now past, what might that word or words be?
A fiery comet.
Truly magical.
Buzzing with energy.
exuberance.
Wide as the ocean.
Earthshaker.
Brilliant priestess.
She believes in you.
She sang her heart to the heavens.
And the heavens responded.
And now she sings in the heavens.
I want to thank Circle Sanctuary Ministers David and Jeanette Ewing, who have been providing support for our show tonight, and Circle Minister in Training, Deborah Rose. I want to thank Jerry Hildebrand, Eclipse Nielsen, Bright Flame, Andres Corbin Arthen, Ruth Barrett, Dennis Carpenter, and I want to thank all of you who have been listening live and those of you who will be listening later. This is just one of the many ways that people around the world are remembering Margot, doing the mourning process now that she's died, celebrating her life, and giving comfort with each other, and carrying her story forward so that she will continue to inspire those who are alive now and are yet to come. I'd like to close with a version of one of the things I posted yesterday on Facebook. Blessings to Margot and her journey into this realm of the ancestors. Support to her son, Alex, and to all of us mourning her passing. The world is a better place because of Margot. Let us remember and give thanks for Margot, her brilliant mind, her loving heart, her beautiful voice, her activism, her writings, her news reporting, her other works, her magic, her bright spirit. May we take comfort in knowing that she lives on in our memories and in the many people, organizations, endeavors that she blessed around the world. Hail and farewell, Margot. We honor you. We remember you. We love you. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thank you all for being part of this circle of remembrance for Margot. I know that a number of people in the days and nights and weeks and months ahead are going to continue the celebration of Margot, her life, and her legacy in a variety of different ways. I'm thankful for the many people that have been posting photographs on Facebook and other social media, posting remembrances on her Facebook page and in other places. As we reflect on her and her life, as we read each other's sharings, as we listen to stories, as we view photos, while she is no longer in this life just now past, she does continue to live on in the many things that she has done. And yes, as said before, let us continue her work, working together for a better world. Good night, and may you all continue to celebrate Margot. And now we're going to have some music that will take us into the next show. Some announcements. Circle Sanctuary is sponsoring the Green Spirit Festival this coming weekend. And yes, we'll be celebrating Lunasa or Llamas. And those of you interested in finding out more about that and other events and other work that we do, you can find us at www.circlesanctuary.org. We will be including a special place in our temple room for celebrating Margot and her life, and are going to have a condolences book. So those of you who come to that event who want to write some memories down, we will be collecting memories and putting them in a form where we can send them off to her family and other loved ones, and we'll be doing a honoring of her in our very first opening ceremony. And I know that she loved the summertime, and I will hold thoughts in my mind of Margot and Martha's Vineyard now in the other world. And we have a show called Circle Talk that comes up on Wednesday night. So David, Jeanette, and Deborah, good evening. And what do we have coming up tomorrow night?
Well, tomorrow night on Circle Talk, we will be continuing our discussion on the various pagan traditions. We've had quite a few discussions in with people so far. Jeanette and I have, and Deb has as well, so we've had a good mix of folks. Ruth, who was on this evening, was actually on last week and talked about her Dianic practice and where that came from and all that. So next night, tomorrow, we're going to have a conversation with Eric Eldridge, who has been fairly active in the Washington, D.C. pagan community, and he's going to be talking about Stone Circle Wicca. And that particular tradition and path. So stay tuned for that. It'll be a pretty good discussion tomorrow night, same time, 9 o'clock Eastern, here on Pagans Tonight Radio.
And we invite you to stay tuned now for a cult science show with LB. And what is the song that will take us into the next show?
Well, with the topic tonight, we've chosen a song that celebrates and kind of tells a story of the cycle of life. By a spiral rhythm. And this is one of the things that Jeanette and I really remember is that the first time we met Margot was at PSG in 2007. And spiral rhythm was playing there, and it was a very powerful time for us. So this is a really good connection for us, you know, in that respect. So we're going to play a song called Life Circle by Spiral Rhythm tonight. Good night.
Good night.
Little girl picking flowers in the green, green meadow. Little boy fishing, trying to catch a rye. Little girl running barefoot in the green, green meadow. Little boy sees the wind, says, I believe we can fly. And they return to me in the spirit, and they return to me again. And they return to me in the spirit, and the circle never ends. Young woman starts to soar in the great blue sky. Young man follows as his heart takes wing. Young woman turning circles in the great blue sky. Young man touches sun's fire as his love begins to sing. And they return to me in the spirit, and they return to light a burning flame. Father, his fire spurs forth into her ocean's way, and they return to me in the spirit, and they return to me again, and they return to me in the spirit, and the circle never ends. Grandmother, she sails the ship to the water's end. Grandfather, he leads her there with his luminescent glow. Grandmother, she starts to drift at the water's end. Grandfather, he takes her by the hand to where the spirit goes. And they return to me in the spirit, and they return to me again, and they return to me in the spirit, and the circle never ends. And they return to me in the spirit, and they return to me again, and they return to me in the spirit, and the circle never ends. The circle never ends. The circle never ends.
And thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.